You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Leave your squawk of shame after the beep.
Okay, this is probably too gross to even go on air, but I have the most embarrassing story ever. I was working at a financial firm, and I was about 25 years old, and I was feeling very professional, but I was having some pretty serious digestive issues, to say the least. And I passed some gas, and it smelled so bad that the office people called in building maintenance because they thought a sewer pipe had broken. And in reality, it was just me. It was just that I had passed gas. And so the building maintenance guy came and looked all around the desk and all around the break room trying to find the broken pipe. And after he was done looking around, he left. And I ran out and chased him into the hallway. And I'm like, you don't need to look for any broken pipe. It's just me.
We asked you for your most embarrassing stories, and hundreds of you called with mortifying tales. We listened to every single one, and we have our finalists. But now we need your help crowning a winner for ELT's most ELT, embarrassing little tale. So take a listen and then cast a vote for your favorite wincy, cringy, glad that wasn't me story on Spotify. Have I mentioned you can find us there? Just open the Spotify app, click on the episode, scroll down, and vote for your favorite.
My name is Dallas Westbury, and I live in Waycross, Georgia. And I do embarrassing stuff a lot, but this is probably one of the top five, I'd say. So I was working at this call center, and they like to do promotional things, waffle day and bring your dad to work day, whatever. And we had a pajama day. And it was fun. Some people wore onesies. Some people wore slippers. Some people had their hair in curlers, really cute. I had on pajama pants and a t-shirt, nothing major. And then my desk mate tells me that she saw on the company website that tomorrow's pajama day too. All right, cool. I've got a top pajama day one, obviously.
Did you think it was odd that there was two consecutive pajama days?
Well, I thought it was weird that they even had pajama day in the first place, honestly. But then when they said second day, I said, okay, well, whatever. And I was so excited about second pajama day. I was like, I don't know if I have any other pajama pants. I have to go and buy something. So I go to Walmart, buy a nightgown, which is not even easy to find. I didn't realize. Got a nightgown, got a matching headband. I had some little shoes on that matched and my bathrobe. I was really showing off. It was pajama day number two. Nobody was going to show me up. And I roll up to work. I bust in there, ready to show everybody my duds. I got my keys jangling. I've got like a big, super big gulp under my arm. Got my bathrobe hanging. I'm bebopping in there. I'm all matching. And as soon as I walk out of the break room, I notice nobody else is wearing pajamas. I was like, should I keep going or should I just turn around? Should I abort this right now? But I kept going, and then people just start looking and looking and looking. And of course, where I sit is the furthest away from the entrance. So I walk past rows and rows and rows of people just slowly turning around like, what is she wearing? What the hell?
What about your coworker who told you it was pajama day? Was she just pranking the shit out of you?
No. We found out that there was like a computer glitch or something where they had posted it from the day before and it was up for like literally 45 minutes on the website. And she just happened to look and see. Because I got to work and I checked her. I said, why did you tell me it was pajama day? Liar. And she was like, no, I'll show you.
How do you look at it now? Does it still haunt you?
I think it probably haunts the people that I walked past.
My name is Ryan. I'm from Chicago. My most embarrassing story that I still think about is when I had to go to a wake where the person that had passed away had many, many brothers and sisters, nieces, nephews. All of them were standing in the receiving line. And I started going through the line and I started saying, I'm sorry for your loss. And they would respond, thank you for coming. I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you for coming. Keep going through, keep going through. Finally, I get to the last woman and I say, I'm sorry I came.
So my name is Mary and I am calling from Rhode Island. And every time someone brings up like, oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed. In my head, I'm always like, you have no idea. You haven't been in the trenches like I have.
Mary's story begins when she got MRSA. It's a bacterial infection that's painful and it's hard to treat. And on top of that, Mary got it between her butt cheeks.
I don't know even how I got it.
And she had just moved in with her boyfriend at the time.
It was still relatively new. And so I didn't want to say to him, you know, hey, I think I have MRSA on my anus.
You weren't at like MRSA in the butt crack level
right.
of intimacy.
Yeah, we weren't at that level yet. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just figure this out myself. My partner at the time worked at a bar. And so I was by myself in the house. It was like midnight and it was getting more and more uncomfortable to the point where even like standing and walking around was painful. And then laying down in bed, I was just, it was pulsing. So I drove myself to the hospital and they bring me down into one of the emergency rooms and like the hottest nurse I've ever seen in my life comes into the room and he's like just muscles and face and like just the whole thing. And I've always loved arm muscles. Oh my God, I love arm muscles. And so just seeing those through the scrubs where it's like the bicep peeking out, where like if I had seen him on the street, I would have done like a double take, like, oh, hello. Hello, sir. It was just, okay, I don't even want to tell you about a flu that I'm having. Like this is, if we could just talk about your life goals and like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And let's see if we meet up. So he comes in and he's like, all right, you know, I read on the chart. Sounds like there's some MRSA going on. Can you tell me about what's going on? And so I had to explain to him, it feels as though it is in between my butt cheeks. It is right next to my aunt. Like I go into the details and he's like, I don't want to say that he was taken aback because I'm sure as an emergency room nurse, he's seen plenty. But I think that there was definitely a moment of surprise where like the eyes got big, you know, of like, oh. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go grab the doctor and then we'll come back in. And I was like, okay, great. Like this can't get any worse. So physician comes in and he is like so attractive. I literally was like, where are they finding you guys? Like what is happening? So I again go into my story of explaining where it is and how I'm pretty sure that it's MRSA and all of that sort of stuff. And he's like, yep, that is what that looks like. We'll numb it first, but then we'll need to drain it and cut out the infected area. So I am just ass up, butt up in the air, like I'm sunbathing, hands folded under my chin, and they are spreading my butt cheeks. And I am very well endowed when it comes to my ass. Like my butt is big, and I can't stress enough how deep in my butt cheek it is. So one hot nurse is spreading the cheeks. Hot doc is just like all up in there with the scalpel and the all the things. Oh, it is just, oh, it's so, so painful. It like makes you like, oh God, like kind of tense up. And they were like, okay, so when you flex your butt cheeks like that, we can't get in there. And I am told to relax, just breathe, relax. So I am trying to be as calm and as relaxed on the outside while tensing my inside as much as possible.
Should I be thinking Kegel?
Yes. the most intense Kegels you've ever done in your life over and over and over and over again. Like, I could have squashed a watermelon in there.
And how long was this? How long are you doing this Kegel marathon? It took about
45 minutes that I am Kegeling for my life and just praying that they're done. So they finally finish. I should not say it like that. These brave souls that ventured into my ass crack. They're like, okay, we're all done. And we're going to send a nurse in with some products for you. And I was like, okay. So I slowly sort of lift up and it like squishes when I sit up. And I'm like, oh God. And I look down. I have Kegeled so aggressively that I caused my period to start. It was a great lake of blood and shame. And the products that they were talking about bringing me were like post-pregnancy industrial size pads. So then when the other nurse, she walked in, and I'll never forget this. She walks in and looks at me and she goes, oh, hon. So finally, they were like, you're allowed to leave. And I like zip out of the room and go home. And at that point, my partner was already home. He was in bed. He's like, oh my God, what? And I was like, I can't talk about it with you yet. So I showed him my hospital papers and was like, here's what I went through.
So wait, you didn't even tell him the story? You were just like, please read this documentation?
I was like, here's the documentation. Like, I will answer whatever questions. I'm open. I'm open for questions. He like looked over these papers, looked up and was like, what the f-? I was like, agreed, sir.
After the break, the stories get even better or worse. It depends on how you look at it, I guess.
When I think about this story, it makes me want to throw up.
Hey, Flora, this is Naja Monet from St. Pete, Florida. And my most embarrassing story is singing at my mom's officer ceremony graduation thing. She's an officer in the Army. And it was a bunch of her fellow Army men. And I'm a singer, and they let me sing the national anthem. And I forgot the words. And in the middle of me forgetting the words, I go, oh, wow. And someone in uniform had to help me with the words. It was so embarrassing. And my brother literally brings it up any chance he gets.
Okay, I'm David McNew calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. It was probably in the early 70s. I was a typewriter repairman at the time, and I had gotten a call at a place called Retail Merchants Association, and they had a typing pool, an entire room full of typewriters with 30 or 40 women typing all at one time. And you know what, one typewriter, well, I don't know if you do, but there's, you know, a lot of clacking and clicking going on, very little talking.
And whose typewriter needed fixing?
The supervisor's, which is in the front of the room.
So you were headed to the front?
The very front, yes.
So it's sort of like a stage.
Very much like a stage. Very much like a stage. And I don't know if you know anything about typewriters, but they have a little arm that comes up to put the letter on the paper. And on occasion, the letter will come loose and you have to solder them back on. So I was in that process and I had a small torch. It's about the size of a magic marker. So I had just finished soldering it and I leaned in to check the alignment and my tie swung into the flame of the torch and it immediately burst into flames.
That sounds scary.
It is scary. So I started patting my chest to put the fire out, but I had thrown the little torch down and it rolled off the typing table into the trash can, which set some of the paper on fire that was in the trash can. So I stuck my foot over there to put that fire out and got that out okay. And the fire on my tie was out, but still kind of smoldering. And then I looked up and it was dead still for several seconds. But then the snicker started. And then, of course, once I found out that I wasn't going to burn to death, I was just totally embarrassed because I was standing there with 40 women all either in a state of shock or laughing.
Did you start wearing flame retardant clothes from then on?
No, but before I started soldering any more typeface, I put my tie inside my shirt. You don't really forget an incident like that anytime soon.
My name is Samantha, and when I think about this story, it makes me want to throw up.
You were babysitting, right?
Yes. And I will say the term babysit very loosely because the boy was 13, I was 15, and the little girl was 6. And they invited a cousin to stay as well. She was 14. Now, this seemed ridiculous to me. We had a 6-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and me, 15. So this just seemed like they were just leaving us to have a party.
So how did you occupy yourselves?
So I remember the little girl, I was getting ready to put her to sleep. And when I came back down, it was the three of us, you know, the 13, the 14, and me at 15, just sort of going, okay, well, now what? And so the cousin, she says, I think we should play truth or dare.
It's always the cousin.
Yeah. But I was thinking, okay, sure. Why not? So, oh God, I'm literally getting nauseous now. So there's a rocking horse open in the middle of the room is this rocking horse. And I was just sitting on it rocking while we were playing this. And it was my turn, and I don't remember who said it. It was probably the cousin. She says to me, I dare you to make sounds like you're having sex. Now, I will tell you, I was 15. I don't even think I'd had my first kiss yet, okay? So I only knew what I saw in the movies for sex noises. But I was thinking, okay, I got this. So I gave it my all. And it was pretty much a lot of just like, you know what? It was just like in that movie, I'll have what she's having. It was like that. It was like, oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Yeah. And I'm like getting into this and my eyes are closed and I kind of peek through one eye to see if they're laughing and no one's laughing. No one's laughing. And no one's laughing because the parents came home and they were standing in the doorway just watching. I never heard them over my own screaming. And like, you know, that feeling you get in your face where every face gets hot and you just can't speak and you feel like you're going to vomit. That's what was happening. And my immediate response was to pretend like I was riding the horse and teaching them about riding horses because I didn't know what else to do. So I just started going, yippee-ki-yay, yippee, uh-huh, woohoo, right, yeah, uh-huh, yippee, ride 'em, cowgirl. And I, oh God, I feel really sick right now telling this. And so I was absolutely mortified. I think I blacked out. They took me home and it was a very quiet drive home.
Amazing story.
No.
Yeah, really is. feel like I have tears in my eyes from laughing. So thank you.
I have tears in my eyes and for crying.
Okay, you've heard the finalists. Now we need your help picking the most embarrassing one. Voting is super easy. Open up the Spotify app, click on the episode, scroll down, and pick your favorite. And thank you to everybody who called.
Every Little Thing is produced by Hager Eldas, Caitlin O'Keefe, Stephanie Werner, B.B. Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, Billy Libby, Emma Munger, and So Wiley. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. Every day is pajama day. Goodbye.